Turn with me in your Bibles, please, for the second chapter on Absalom's rebellion, 2 Samuel chapter 16. Second Samuel, chapter 16, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And when David was a little past the top of the hill, behold, Ziba, the servant of Mephibosheth, met him, with a couple of asses saddled, and upon them 200 loaves of bread, and 100 bunches of raisins, and 100 of summer fruits, and a bottle of wine. And the king said unto Ziba, What meanest thou by these? And Ziba said, The asses be for the king's household to ride on, and the bread and summer fruit for the young men to eat, and the wine that such as be faint in the wilderness may drink. And the king said, And where is thy master's son? And Ziba said unto the king, Behold, he abideth at Jerusalem, for he said, Today shall the house of Israel restore me the kingdom of my father. Then said the king to Ziba, Behold, thine are all that pertained to Mephibosheth. And Ziba said, I humbly beseech thee that I may find grace in thy sight, my lord, O king. And when King David came to Bahurim, behold, thence came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gerah, and he came forth and cursed still as he came. And he cast stones at David and all the servants of King David, and all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. And thus said Shimei, when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man, and thou man of Belial. The Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned, and the Lord hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom thy son, and behold, thou art taken in thy mischief, because thou art a bloody man. Then said Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, unto the king, Why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head. And the king said, What have I to do with you, ye sons of Zeruiah? So let him curse, because the Lord hath said unto him, Curse David. Who shall then say, Wherefore hast thou done so? And David said to Abishai and to all his servants, Behold, my son, which came forth of my own bowels, seeketh my life. How much more now may this Benjamite do it? Let him alone, and let him curse, for the Lord hath bidden him. It may be that the Lord will look on mine affliction, and that the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day. And as David and his men went by the way, Shimei went along on the hill's side over against him, and cursed as he went, and threw stones at him, and cast dust. And the king and all the people that were with him came weary, and refreshed themselves there. And Absalom and all the people, the men of Israel, came to Jerusalem, and Ahithophel with him. And it came to pass, when Hushai the Archite, David's friend, was come unto Absalom, that Hushai said unto Absalom, God save the king! God save the king! And Absalom said to Hushai, Is this thy kindness to thy friend? Why wentest thou not with thy friend? And Hushai said unto Absalom, Nay, but whom the Lord and his people and all the men of Israel choose, his will I be, and with him will I abide. And again, whom should I serve? Should I not serve in the presence of his son? As I have served in thy father's presence, so will I be in thy presence. Then Absalom said to Ahithophel, Give counsel among you what we shall do. And Ahithophel said unto Absalom, Go in unto thy father's concubines, which he hath left to keep the house, and all Israel shall hear that thou art abhorred of thy father. Then shall the hands of all that are with thee be strong. So they spread Absalom a tent upon the top of the house. And Absalom went in unto his father's concubines in the sight of all Israel. And the counsel of Ahithophel, which he counseled in those days, was as if a man had inquired at the oracle of God. So was the counsel of Ahithophel, both with David and with Absalom. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. So, 1 Samuel chapter 16, chapter 2 of Absalom's rebellion. David is a little ways past the top of the Mount of Olives, and here comes Ziba. You remember Ziba. Ziba was the servant of Mephibosheth, who actually served Jonathan before Mephibosheth, and the one who had brought Mephibosheth to David. And David had said, "Let Mephibosheth eat bread at my table continually." You remember him, Ziba. Well, Ziba comes with quite a little bit of stuff for the weary men as they travel out of Jerusalem in haste. And so he meets them with bread and with wine. He meets them with those things that are necessary for strength and energy. And David says, "What do you mean by all of this?" And he says, "Well, this is for all of you, so that you may travel with some strength and not have to go on an empty stomach." Right? It was Napoleon, I guess, that said the army travels on its stomach. You have to keep them fed. And so David asks him then, "Where is your master or your master's son?" Because it was Jonathan that originally he had served. And Ziba says this curious thing, and we're going to see that this is disputed later in a couple of chapters. Ziba says, "Well, my master Mephibosheth said, when all of this came to pass, that he's going to stay behind in Jerusalem because he thinks this is his chance to be restored to the kingdom of his granddad, Saul." So he stayed behind. Well, if that's true, that's a sad, sad commentary. It does seem that David believed Ziba, because Ziba says, "Okay, well, here's what we're going to do then. Since Mephibosheth has proved disloyal, I'm going to give all that pertained to him to you." So now that whatever was in the house of Saul, the inheritance of Saul, the inheritance of Jonathan, that was to fall to Mephibosheth to be his, now it's yours, Ziba. You are the inheritor instead of Mephibosheth. Now, as you see, especially as we get to this a little bit later, there are motivations on a couple of different sides here, and it's going to be impossible to ascertain the truth. And so I want you to remember that when we get to the resolution of this matter and see what David does when it is impossible to ascertain the truth. Okay? But we'll leave that in abeyance for now. In the second section, then, verses 5 through 14, we have that messenger of good tidings, Shimei. So Shimei comes out. Now, to whose household does Shimei belong? Well, he's of the tribe of Benjamin, and so he's related to Saul. And so he was pretty put out when Saul's family line was no longer in the monarchy. And he blames David for all of that. It is wrong that he should blame David for all of that, but he does anyway. And so he calls David all kinds of names, disrespects the king, throws rocks at him, curses him, throws dust in the air, just is generally being a pain. And so Abishai looks over at that. He looks at his master David, and he says, "You know, David, you shouldn't have to endure that. Give me a minute, and I'll go take care of that. I'll separate him from his head." And David says, "Notice, what have I to do with you?" Not thee. "What have I to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah?" So it is Abishai that speaks, but David answers in the plural. Thank you, King James Version, for helping us with that. David answers in the plural, "Who's the other son of Zeruiah that is yet alive?" Joab. And so it is perhaps true that Joab and Abishai wanted to take care of Shimei in that way. David responds to them by the sons of Zeruiah. And then note David's peaceable response. This is a time of humiliation, of humbling for David. David recognizes that this is the Lord's hand that has sent him out from the kingdom, and the sword has come into his house, and so on. And so David is not about to put an end to any of those sufferings that might have a sanctifying work upon him. And so he says, the Lord has sent him to curse, let him curse. If the Lord has sent him, this is for my good. That's an attitude. That's a good attitude. That's an attitude to be followed. That is an exemplary attitude that shows David is more interested in being sanctified by the afflictions the Lord sends than being out from under afflictions. Now, you know, as well as I do, our society is all about removing afflictions or perceived afflictions. We've got a pill. We've got a method. We've got a place. We've got a vacation. We've got a piece of retail sales. We've got something that will make your affliction go away. You'll be happy ever after. You'll be like this person with wonderful smile and perfect teeth that already has this thing here on this commercial. You'll be just like them. If you will just buy what we want you to buy, go where we want you to go, do this weird trick that we want you to do, or whatever it is, right? My dear brothers and sisters, sometimes the way of blessing is the way of affliction. The way of affliction. So, and this is not new. This is, I guess it's been about 30 years ago now that the wife of Francis Schaeffer, Edith Schaeffer, wrote a book called Affliction. And she wrote very minutely, very carefully about our society, and that it is a society wanting to be your God to remove all of your afflictions. Your God does not want to remove all of your afflictions. Your God wants to send you afflictions to make you holy. Right? And we see the work that these afflictions have done on David. The Lord has sent him to curse. Let him curse. My own son seeks me to put an end to my life. How much more damage do you think this Benjamite can do? And so David, by his afflictions, is able to put things in their right perspective. Most folks under David's affliction would have eliminated the immediate affliction and then burned in the larger affliction. Right? I can't fix the thing with Absalom, but I can sure fix this thing with Simei. But he refused to do that. Okay, so that's a good example to us. The king and all the people that were with him came weary then, and they refreshed themselves as soon as they got to the other side of the hill there. All right, so then we change the scene, and we're going to go back to Jerusalem, and Hushai has his first interview with Absalom. So there's Absalom and Ahithophel together, and Hushai the Archite, David's friend, he came to Absalom, and Hushai said to Absalom, God save the king, God save the king. Well, that's a statement of loyalty to Absalom, like David told him to. Absalom says, is this the kindness to thy friend? Now here's what he means. Isn't David your friend? And then why didn't you go out with your friend? And if you can't be thought of as being a loyal friend to him, how can I receive you as a loyal friend to me? That's the implication of Absalom's words. Well, Hushai has a cogent argument at least. He says, no, the one whom the Lord chooses and the people of Israel choose, that's the one whom I will serve. And so I will serve you as I have served David. Yes, I served him. I don't regret my loyalty to him. But it is obvious that the Lord has removed him, and so now my loyalty is to you. So that's his argument. Well, for the time being, it saves his head, doesn't it? Yeah. Absalom received that argument as a good argument. And so, although Hushai is there for intelligence purposes and to overthrow the counsel of Ahithophel, he is received in the household of of Absalom at this point. So then Absalom says to Ahithophel, give counsel among you what we shall do. And Ahithophel then recommends that Absalom defile all of the concubines of David that were left, the 10 concubines that were left. So they set a tent up, thankfully, on the roof of the palace. And then Absalom defiles the 10 concubines. And the reason, within its own sphere of the wickedness that it entails, it's very wise within that sphere of wickedness. Ahithophel has ceased counseling now for righteousness, and he is using his wisdom and sagacity now to counsel for wickedness. It is that kind of counsel that is respected in that it is very sagacious. It is not godly counsel, but it is sagacious counsel. And so Absalom will be abhorred in all those who would be loyal to David, and that will solidify the people that Absalom is drawn to himself. If you want to solidify your kingdom, then make yourself to be abhorred before David. Make it so that everyone who has followed you in the rebellion and those who have been aloof and have not really committed to you yet, make sure that they understand what your commitment to the rebellion is. And that's what Ahithophel counsels Absalom to do. That's what he does. And so then those who were wondering about Absalom's commitment, whether or not he could ever be reconciled to his father David, that question is answered at that point. And so they are ready more fully now to follow on with Absalom. Again, I want to reiterate, the counsel of Ahithophel is for Absalom to do something wicked. It is, however, a very sagacious counsel in that Ahithophel now has turned the wisdom that he has into a way he is now using that for sinful purposes. And by the end of the next chapter, Ahithophel will be gone from the scene. A man that is that wise, that turns away from that wisdom to using that gift for sin, the Lord will make quick work of him and take him out of the way. And that's what happens to Ahithophel. All right, thus ends the reading of 2 Samuel chapter 16.